Today is the day I decide that I'm going to be my very best and live in the now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Today I'm going to be my very best and live in the now. Today is Memorial Day. It's a day that we remember. Well, what are we remembering? Are we remembering the wars that are past that we have fought in? Are we remembering the men and women who have fought in these wars? Are we remembering the conflicts that came in the various countries? Or are we remembering that no war ever solved the conflicts that go on in the world? No war ever brought peace. Because the very fact war being war, it is a matter of fighting with another person for the right to believe what you believe. Now, every day we can go around looking at the world and finding fault with it. We can go around looking at the world and finding ways that we can improve it. We go around looking at the world and seeing how we can make a better world, how we can make a happier world, how we can bring peace on earth. And all of the ways that we think about are ways that are forcing other people into our mold, into our way of thinking. This is, of course, the way that mankind sometimes thinks. It's not really the way that we are taught to think. It's just the way that we have allowed ourselves to become aggressive, become a matter of controlling and manipulating other people. We're taught by philosophy that if we are master of our own thought, if we are master of our own consciousness, if we are master of what we think about and what we think over, that whatever we are master of, whatever we think about and think over, that is what we experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, do we really believe this? Or are we going to go on and have more wars? Are we going to go on and have more conflicts, trying to force people to believe whatever we want them to believe? The best and the most effective techniques to bring about peace on earth is through utilizing the thought, utilizing the blessing that we can be for ourselves and our world by going out and being loving and sharing our love. All lovers fight, and what do they fight about? They fight about things that are totally unimportant. And like they say, lovers fight, and then the best part of the fight is when they make up. Well, why not make up all the time? We say the best part of it is when you make up, so why not make up all the time? Why not get into that position where you're really making up and having a wonderful time while you're doing it? This is something that is true for all of us. It's something that is we can all put into motion and all put into our life. We can be our very best. The athletes are taught to be their personal best. They cannot be the best of somebody else. They cannot be as good as anybody else. They cannot be better than somebody else. They can only be their own best. And when you're your own best, you're usually the winner. And if you really are your own best, you're always the winner. You're always the winner because you put yourself out there and do your very best. Now, it's not a matter of straining a gut. It's not a matter of making yourself train, train, train. It's not a matter of doing these things, but it's a matter of thinking rightly, training rightly, having the right thoughts in your mind, the right ideas in your mind. Think about the various wonderful people who have been on earth. The man who built the Taj Mahal for his wife, who had died. What an interesting thing to do. Now, today it still stands as a glorious, wonderful monument, a wonderful building, but the people who look at it, they don't look at it and say, oh, he built that for his wife who died. He built that for his wife. He built that for somebody else. Oh, that's what he did. Well, they may say that once, but when they look at the building, they begin to look at it with awe and say, what an architectural delight. What an imaginative being created this wonderful building. They don't think of it as a memorial. The memorial has long since been forgotten, long since been placed in an attitude of being unimportant. The important thing is that it is a structure of beauty. Now, we make war memorials, and we put up these war memorials with the names of the dead on it and the names of those who fought in the war. Well, what about all these people who didn't fight in the war? What about these people who were staying home and building the machines and building the guns and building the ammunition and doing all those things? Their names are not there. Aren't they important too? And have they not died? And did many of them die in the line of their work? Did many of them, like over in Germany when the people were building in the war plants? No, they're not bad people. They were building in the war plants, and then the war plants got bombed and they got killed there. Were memorials made to those people? No, not at all. You say, well, Herb, are you trying to make it sound like the German people were good people? Sure. All people are good people. As soon as the war is over, then we're friends again. And we're competitors again in our business and our activity. We're only enemies for a short time. It's when you make up after the fight, when you make up afterwards, that's the most fun. That's what the best part of being lovers is, you know. We have such a strange idea of our values. And we look at the conditions of the world and we say, now that's a memorial for the war dead. And that is a memorial for the living. Now, what about the people who were in the wars and lived and had to live with all of the idea of their friends being lost? Now, that's kind of tough too. That's kind of tough too. I think the greatest thing that we can do on a memorial day, as this is to say, hey, they gave their best, and we remember them, but now we go on, and we go on to be our best. We go on to live our life as a wonderful thing. We go on to live our life not trying to get something for nothing all the time, but giving our very best to being our very best. Our memorial is to live in the now and be our finest now. This is our finest hour. Each hour of the day, each moment of the day is our finest moment. Each moment of our life is our finest moment. Each experience that we have is our finest. And there are finer moments even to come. But that's not what we are dwelling upon. We're dwelling upon this moment now. This moment now when we have our dream. This moment now when we are living and enjoying and delighting in being who we are. Now is the most precious time in the entire universe. The soldiers who went to war, who were on the battlefield, who died and gave their lives for their work, for their country, they lived in the now. Oh, true, they ended it in the now too. But so do all of us. We all ended in the now in one way or another. Let's live each moment now as the most treasured, priceless moment we can ever have. And as we look at beautiful scenes, let us look at these scenes as uplifting scenes, as the Taj Mahal is an uplifting scene, as the pyramids are beautiful manufactured ideas of somebody's mind, of some creative consciousness that brought them forth. Because you can be sure, everything had something that brought it forth. What are you going to do today? What are you going to think today? How are you going to act today? What are you going to believe about yourself today? What is your world today? Is your world today the idea that you're going to be concerned about those who died in war to keep the freedom that you have? We will always have the freedom. We will always have the freedom because that is our choice. Other countries will always have subjection, for that is their choice. And when other countries have the privilege of experiencing freedom for a time, then they will have that as their choice. I have many friends around the world, and as I visit them, and as they visit me, I say to them, "Wouldn't you like to be an American? Wouldn't you like to live in America?" And they say, "No. No, you wouldn't. No. I love my country. I love living where I live." They love living in Nigeria. They love living in Ghana. They love living in Guyana. They love living in Brazil, in all the countries of the world, all the nations of the world, in New Zealand, in Australia, in Thailand, in the Philippines. They love living there. And you think to yourself, why would anyone want to live in those places when they could live in the United States? Well, because those places are just as charming, just as delightful, just as wonderful as the United States. When you have a home, when you are raised in a home, you oftentimes want to go back to that home, and you remember that home with kindness and love. And that home may not have been what you have today, the glorious, lovely place that you have today, the modern fixtures that are available to you today in your home, but you remember the home that you had, and that sort of brings a tickle to your heart. Now, you want to go back and bring all of the good things that you have learned about today to your home of yesteryear. And you want to modernize it and remodel it and bring it back up. But it'll never be what it was, because we are always new living in the now. The greatest memorial that we can give to our world is to be ourselves and have fun, is to delight in every moment that this world is. If men have died and women have died for the war effort or for their own country to save their way of life, as they would call it, as we all have learned to call it, ours is not to dwell upon that, but to dwell upon the fact that today, in the now, are we enjoying those efforts that were brought forth? Because just as the Roman Empire brought forth its activities, just as the Catholic Church brought forth the teachings of Jesus the Christ and brought them on through the years as with whatever feelings we may have about it. If it weren't for the Catholic Church, we wouldn't have the teachings of Jesus Christ. If it weren't for Paul, we wouldn't have the teachings. If it weren't for many things, we wouldn't have this. But we do have other things, and we do have it, and we're thankful for it. But we don't dwell upon it as a memorial and saying, "Oh, thank you, Paul. Oh, thank you, Catholic Church. Oh, thank you." Well, we should probably do that, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have what we have now. And if it weren't for the great inventors, Edison and Einstein and all the other people who have been creative minds, if it weren't for these beautiful souls, what would happen? We perhaps would have other types of things, other types of devices. Europe has stayed with the 220 current aspect, and we here are the 110, and we are alternating current, and they are direct current, and we think to ourselves, now, why do we have to have these two systems? Well, what's the benefit of the 220? What's the benefit of the 110? Well, the benefit is that we have it. That's what we are using. That's who we are. And we don't dwell upon it, cry upon it, worry upon it. We just are it. George Washington told the Continental Congress that they should decide what language the United States was going to have. And by one vote, English won over German. By one vote. Now, that's not a lot, and it is a lot, but by one vote. And George Washington also told them at that time that rather than using the inch and the foot method, that we should use the metric method of measurement, and that it should be instituted into the country immediately. Well, here we are hundreds of years later, and the metric system is still not here. When it's time, that its time has come, it'll be done, and it'll be done beautifully, but there'll be no war that'll cause it to be done. It'll just be an economic beneficial thing for it to happen, and then it'll take place. Economics are usually the foundation of all conflicts that happen in every nation. And economics are the foundation of all blessings that are happening in nations. So let's make our economics one of joyful peace, joyful love, joyful sharing. And the more we give, the more we have to give. When Obama took office, the nation was in a great recession, and it's just slowly climbing out of it. But when he took over, there was no money, there was no anything. And yet, he found trillions of dollars to spend on behalf of the nation to bring it out of the doldrums. And he is doing it beautifully. There was no money, and yet he had it. You say, well, he did this, he did that. Well, he did it, didn't he? Now, will it ever be able to be handled in a proper way? Of course it will. Just like the Chinese, who had come out of being a third world country into being a leader of all countries, an industrial leader, and quite likely in the next 10 years, China may come up to be one of the greatest countries in the world, even outshining the United States. We say here in the United States that surely that cannot happen, but why not? Why not? Whenever it grows and grows and grows, and its economic growth can manifest itself, just as Germany popped up after the Second World War, because it wasn't allowed to spend its money on munitions, it spent it all on creativity and imagination. And the same with Japan. No munitions, just creativity and imagination, just economic soundness. And now it's suffering under having people feel that they can get rich quick, and they need to be on a modest growth period of recognizing that all is done, but it does not have to take or misuse principle or misuse the laws at any time. What a memorial we have. The memorial is the lessons in economics. The memorial is a lesson in spiritual evolution. The memorial is a recognition that every man is good and very good. And every man deserves to be recognized and appreciated for who and what he is right now. And it starts with me recognizing myself and you recognizing yourself. And from this moment forward, walking straight, tall, proud, happy, joyful, free now, all the time. Join with me in my Memorial Day of living in the now. I love you. I love you. I love you.